compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, in divine find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join me, or join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you are now, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their wickedness, said, Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. He said to them, Therefore, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the 23rd Sunday after the Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? He said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Thus far the text. Please be seated. Well, it's easy to get upset at the government. They take too much once a year or quarterly through taxes. And why is so much added to the bill when you buy? this. The Fed gets that. Oh, yeah, that's right. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, guess what, my friends? Caesar only gets a portion of what you've earned or what has been given to you. Now, consider the directive from Christ, which is as simple as it is impossible. Render unto God what is God's. Well, what is God's? Everything is His. Then what are you to render unto God? Not just a portion, but you are to give Him everything. So compare yourself to this command. Remember, it's as simple as it is impossible. Have you given everything to God? Look there in the mirror and see your reflection. The mirror reveals your fleshly image. Can you even begin to balance your accounts? It's not pretty. You've looked after yourself. You have taken for your own pleasure what belongs to God. Don't try to trick Him. Don't try to trap Him with clever words. Do not think that you can distract Him with what you think are complicated ethical questions about taxes or birth control, about divorce or war, about Sunday morning priorities, and the place of the Word of God in your life compared to entertainment and family. He sees into your heart. You can hide from Him about as well as Adam and Eve hid in the garden. He knows your shameful pride, your reluctant strings attached gifts, your self-justifying lies, your vain posturing, your half-truths, and your deliberate deceptions. Even what you think He must be proud of, you've tainted by your thinking about it at all. He knows your plotting ways and your shallow excuses. Measured against this good directive, this good law, this perfect wisdom, render unto God what is God's, who could stand? What do you think you are? He knows. You're a sinner. He sets the weight of that law. Are you even able to breathe? To lift an eye? Do you sense how the image of your flesh is brought to nothing? Well then, according to that pride-filled flesh, now humbled, you are exactly where God would have you, in your flesh. Don't be angry against God's truth about you. That's simply your sinful flesh fighting to survive by its own presumed righteousness. Don't tune out the rest of the proclamation of what God has to say to you, because your flesh is content with your fleshly image, as if you're going to show God by turning off your ears. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. The ways of men in their sinful flesh are lawyers and loopholes attempts to outsmart God and trap him with his own word. But the way of God is the double-edged sword of his word, the double-edged sword of law and gospel. It cuts clean. It slices open the hearts of men. It exposes them for the weak and dying vessels that they are. This crushing law, this impossible standard, render unto God what is God's, is laid up against your throat for a reason. It kills in mercy. It kills so that the other edge of the sword, which cuts away at falsehood and promotes truth, might be laid up against your heart. For the other edge is the free gift of grace. God's undeserved, unearned, impossible love. The other edge is the truth of his perfect mercy, his perfect atoning sacrifice. He empties you so that he can fill you with what is good, so that he can fill you with himself. What you could and would not render, God has rendered unto himself on your behalf. Do you sense that relief? Has God's truth brought you beyond your old pride-filled self, that you would receive and confess through repentant faith God's gospel? The Son of Man, born of woman, without a human father, without inherited sin or corruption, with a perfect record, with a selfless and humble history, has rendered it all, even his life, unto the Father for you. The innocent has died for the guilty. He has rendered his life as the ransom for your iniquity. Your debt is paid by him. The unlimited atonement has been acquired for you. And not only for you, but for the whole world. By the grace of God, in repenting and believing, thanks to the fully atoning sacrifice of Christ Jesus, he has fulfilled all that is required. That is the greatest news you could ever hear and continue to hear. That is why Christ crucified is the focal point of Christendom. Christ crucified proves that God demands everything. For everything was given in your place. If you say that God forgives without payment, attempting to avoid God's harsh law, all you'd be doing is denying God's love through Christ. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and what do you give? A portion of your George Washington's, your Abraham Lincoln's, your Ben Franklin's. You're right in giving it, in honoring the authority over you, as hard as it is sometimes. Now, render unto God what is God's, and what do you give? never give enough. For you cannot even give an ounce. You cannot give anything. It's rags in God's eyes because everything you touch is tainted with sin. So God comes along and gives you what to give. He gives you the perfect image that matters in His eye. He gives you His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would be justified and have eternal life. The way of God, the way of truth, is the way of forgiveness. It is reconciliation to the Father through the death and resurrection of the Son by the gift of the Spirit. He is the way for simple and selfish men who could not and will never pay their own way. The way of God is no respecter of persons. The way of God cares not for men's fleeting honors, titles, and images of glory. The way of God does not play favorites. For He died for all. His love is so great, so embracing, so blind, that it even encompasses you. Not in a generic way, like the way that some people love cats or chocolate, but in a deliberate, personal, individual way, as though there were only you. Bothering to take the time to number every hair on your head. He laid down His life for you. He laid it down, even though He knew that the great majority of those for whom He died would reject Him out of hand. He died despite them. For you. He accomplished the Father's will to save you by dying and rising in your place. Because you, oh unlikely sinner, you're still His beloved. You are His chosen bride. By the watery death you died through Him who got death over with for you. By the words that enter into your ears, by the body and blood you eat and drink, by the power of a promise from the one who cannot lie, by that promise received through the gift of faith, you have a perfect, innocent, blessed, chaste, unblemished, and yet free image before the Father. You are sanctified, that is, you are holy, for you are His. There is no one to accuse you who live in Christ. The law has been satisfied for you by the grace of God. Repenting is believing. So go ahead, render unto God what is God's. For through faith alone in Christ's fully atoning merits, that law, that simple and impossible directive, is now perfect freedom.